repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, mm-hmm. and areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky, wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, you know, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement. Yes, sir. Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church, second family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. We're so honored that you joined us today. We're going to be talking about Israel today. We think about how Israel's being pressed and pushed into a corner, and so many people like the company Orange and other ones are trying to divest from Israel. Israel is a blessed nation. God is using Israel to bless so many people. It's amazing. You know, when you think about the earthquake that took place in Nepal, who was the first ones there? It was Israel was there with setting up medical hospitals for people to be able to get aid. But yet, it seems today that people have it in their mind, a dark mind, to be able to harm Israel, to come against Israel, just like what happened in the days right before World War II in Germany, when all of a sudden the leadership decided they didn't want anything to do with Israel. They wanted, well, not Israel, but the Jews. They began to persecute Jews and Jewish businesses. We call it the Night of Kristallnacht with broken glass and all the terrible things that happened at that particular time. What's happening today? It's happening today. As a matter of fact, so many people are trying to turn against Israel that now they have a brand new partner to be able to fight against Iran or stand against Iran, which is Saudi Arabia. This is so huge because our government, Secretary of State John Kerry, and our President Barack Obama and his cabinet are negotiating for Iran to get nuclear weapons. As a matter of fact, take a look.
At the Council on Foreign Relations, Israel's incoming Director General of the Foreign Ministry, Dori Gold, met with Anwar Majed Eski, his Saudi Arabian counterpart. These historic enemies sent the same message. Iran is trying to take over the Middle East, and it must be stopped. At the event, Israel and Saudi Arabia revealed they have met 5 times in the last year and a half in secret. That revelation and the rare public meeting seemed designed to send a clear message to President Obama's White House.
The Saudi message is basically President Obama, listen to Prime Minister Netanyahu. The Saudis identify fully with the Israeli perception of the Iranian threat. They totally disagree with the very naive misperception of Iran by President Obama.
Iranian press TV even covered the event, and the timing of the meeting seemed planned. It fell in the shadow of the June 30th deadline for the nuclear talks in Lausanne, Switzerland, between Iran, the U.S., and 5 other world powers.
In fact, the Saudis and the Israelis are very, very concerned about President Obama being preoccupied with Lausanne, which conflicts dramatically with the reality in the Persian Gulf. In fact, the Iranians are trying to topple every single pro-American Arab regime.
Former Israeli Ambassador Yoram Ettinger says the threat Iran poses explains the change in relations.
And as far as the Saudis are concerned, Israel constitutes the most effective life insurance, which they have right now, in face of Iran.
While Saudi Arabia, a major Sunni power, and Israel have been enemies for decades, they both see Shiite Iran's nuclear program as a threat to their very existence. Huge differences remain between these two historic foes, but for now their alliance seems a classic example of the Middle East maxim, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
The Lord showed me very specifically in a dream. He showed me a prophetic dream, a night vision of what was going to happen when John Kerry became the Secretary of State. It was very specific. We revealed it on VFN TV when God gave it. And God gave me the very exact time that John Kerry would be coming live on television to be able to speak about Syria, where they begin to target Syria and use those kind of Saul Alinsky tactics for Syria. But here we are today. He is negotiating with Iran, with his leaders, against Iran's leadership is against Israel, against Israel's existence. We're seeing all these things take place. And it's like, what was going to happen if John Kerry got in place, according to what the Lord told me? Well, it was going to be really terrible for Jews and for Christians. the Christians and Jews will be put in a lower place because of John Kerry being raised to a higher place, and he is under our president. And that very thing's happening today. All this was spoken prophetically before it came to pass. And they're wanting people to divest and turn their backs on Israel. Remember, you turn your back on Israel, you turn your back on the church, you're turning your back on God. That's what that is. And you don't want to make that choice. As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break, we want to show you, this is what God said. God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, to be a blessing. And Israel is a blessing to the world. God is blessing the world through Israel, even with water. Find out more when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Have you ever had difficulty celebrating both Jesus and Santa at Christmas time? Here's VeggieTales creator Phil Vischer explaining how, really, it's two holidays in one.
Rather than just saying, ignore it, pay no attention to the man in the red suit. No, instead of doing that, unpack it and say, you know what? We aren't talking about the same holiday. Let's talk about the two different holidays that became Christmas. We have Jesus' birthday, which was called the Christmas, and we have St. Nicholas Day, which was on December 6th until Martin Luther canceled it. And people loved it so much that we moved it over to Christmas Eve. And you can actually explain to kids, look, that's the St. Nicholas part, and this is the Jesus' birthday part. There are two parts to this holiday, and that's okay.
Isn't it interesting that celebrating the birth of Jesus and recognizing the kindness of St. Nick can go hand in hand? You'll find more trusted advice at FocusOnTheFamily.com/parenting.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back, John.
Yes.
I mean, you see these things going on with Israel, and it is just wild, isn't it, to see how it just parallels with Germany in the 30s. When, you know, the leadership there was just organizing everything against the Jews and God's folks, Christians.
Yeah. And we're seeing it all over again.
Yes.
And the question is, what are we going to do as believers? Okay, we've had history, we've got context, we've seen this playbook, we've seen this strategy before.
Yeah.
Are we going to fall to the same thing that's happened?
You know, I found myself, you know, I've been guilty of watching the History Channel with expectation.
Okay. You too? Don't do it. Yeah. Don't do
it. You know, you watch it and you're thinking like, okay, I already know it's going to happen. But just like, maybe they're not. You know?
Right.
It's like watching a rerun of a football game. You're like, heck, it's going to change the score. Or
Saints, are they going to win?
Don't even do it. No. It still didn't work. And so what you're looking right now, this is identical. This is identical to Germany, what was taking place. Yeah. And the thing about it is, where do you stand in this? And God said to Israel, he said to Jacob, he says to Abraham, he says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And he showed him where Israel is today. He says, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be blessed to be a blessing. As a matter of fact, his great-grandson's name, Abraham's great-grandson's name is Israel. Mm-hmm. That's who that is, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob, Israel. And blessed to be a blessing. And we talked about just a previous program how God is blessing the nations through Israel with agriculture. But take a look at how he's given them wisdom and is blessing the world through water. Take a look.
More than half of this country's land is desert. And we have a severe water shortage. Moses led us to Israel, a country that has no oil, no water, not too good soil, and we had to make the best out of it.
Thousands of years ago, Moses had to strike a rock to get water in the desert. Well, today Israelis are taking a slightly different approach, using technology and creativity. In Israel, the main sources of drinking water are the Sea of Galilee and two underground aquifers. If rainfall is short, so is the nation's water supply. In 1953, Israel started building the National Water Carrier, a system of pipelines, canals, and reservoirs that carry water from the Sea of Galilee to the rest of Israel.
So we didn't have water, okay, we developed water technology. One of the things that Israel has excelled in is taking what some people would see as risk factors or as curses and turning them into blessings. From the time of Bilam, Jewish people have always been able to somehow turn the curse into a blessing.
The pipelines were a good start, but Israel's fresh water supply wasn't enough to support a growing country. So Israelis started looking west to the Mediterranean. For thousands of years, the Mediterranean Sea was the center of the ancient world, the crossroads between Europe, Asia, and Africa. And now it's one of Israel's greatest natural resources.
Israel is desalinating so much of its drinking water, the majority of our drinking water's origin will be the Mediterranean Sea by the end of next year.
Today, Israel produces 450 million cubic meters of drinkable water a day. Through a process called seawater reverse osmosis, water can go from the ocean to the faucet in less than 90 minutes. The Israeli technology is now used in more than 40 countries around the world. And thanks to the Mediterranean, Israel may soon have something that was once unthinkable, a water surplus.
In this country, we don't have much water, except somehow, by the end of this decade, Israel is going to become a net water exporter. Just on today's news, there was an item about how Israel is stepping up the export of water to Jordan in order to supply water for all the Syrian refugees who are fleeing into Jordan.
While Israel produces drinking water from the sea, many farmers are getting water for their crops literally out of thin air. Ancient Israelites used stones to collect the dew every morning. Now an Israeli company is using plastic trays to do the same. The trays were developed by Talyad Technologies, which means God's dew in Hebrew. Every morning, these trays channel the dew straight into the roots of the plants. They also prevent weeds from growing between the plants and reduce water usage by up to 50%. Israeli farmers have always made good use of their water, but it wasn't long before they realized that in order to survive, they also needed to start reusing it.
Today, Israel recycles 80% of its wastewater. The closest competitor is Spain with 10%. So we recycle more than 8 times more water than any other country on the planet.
Israelis developed a way to purify wastewater using ultraviolet light. This treated water is then used to irrigate crops.
If you use it for vegetables, then you would like to clean it to the extent that you can almost drink it. So it is treated to a very high degree. Today, 60% of the water that is irrigating fields in Israel is produced water and not natural water. And I'll give you an example of our farm here on the kibbutz. We grow jojoba, and we use only sewage water, only treated wastewater to irrigate our jojoba. And this is done all over Israel.
Israel may be short on fresh water, but the country's Negev Desert is sitting on an underground ocean, too salty to drink or desalinate. So Israeli settlers found a new way to use it.
You cannot really fight nature. Nature will fight you back. We found out after the years that it's better to cooperate and to coordinate with what you've got.
Yoav Dagan is one of a growing number of Israelis who have left the ocean to go fishing in the desert. They build fish farms using the warm, salty water from underground. It's ideal for raising saltwater fish like tilapia, sea bass, and barramundi.
The place here is working without chemicals, without anything. It's very healthy, it's friendly for the environment. And it's good for us in a matter of the pocket. We are making good money, and this is by the bottom line.
At this kibbutz in the Negev Desert, even the fish waste is put to use. Every week, The water in these tanks is replaced and pumped underground to irrigate the nearby olive grove. The fish waste in the water makes an ideal natural fertilizer.
As you can see on the side, the olives are growing around the farm, around the fish, and are doing very well without any other chemicals, only by the nutrients of the fish.
Israel has taken this idea to other countries struggling with water and food shortages.
We're taking African villages, teaching them how to essentially build fish farms. If you look at around Lake Victoria, the Nile perch were dying, and Israelis are now going in to teach the farmers how to grow them in ponds so that you can actually continue to eat the Nile perch.
Over the years, Israelis also found new ways to use less water. And as always, they started in the desert.
There's the story of the Arava. Sometimes as 20 millimeters of rain annual fall, very harsh climate. And still, thanks to drip irrigation, this became the vegetable barn of Israel. 65% of vegetable export out of Israel, mainly to Europe, is coming from the Arava.
Today, even the driest parts of the desert are blooming, with help from a process called drip irrigation. The idea is older than the state of Israel itself.
When the first settlers came here, young people came from the city and they wanted to be farmers. And they came to Kibbutz Chatzirim and they faced many challenges. Arid land, high salinity, not enough water. And there was even a time when they considered moving to another place. But then Ben-Gurion came, who was a leader with a real vision, and he said, guys, if you want to move, it's okay, but further south, not back to the north. And we stayed here and we continued and we did some experiment, but still we were struggling. Then we met the guy who invented drip irrigation.
That guy was an engineer named Simcha Blass. He got the idea for drip irrigation after seeing a tree that was larger than the others around it. After digging around the roots, he found it was being watered by a leak in an underground pipe.
So this gave him the idea, but it took him some years, actually, until plastic was introduced to start and make experiments with drippers that will emit water in small drops. And this is basically drip irrigation.
Blass met the farmers of Kibbutz Hatzarim, and together they started a company called Netafim, which means drops of water in Hebrew. Soon they boosted their crop yield by 50% and used 40% less water to do it.
Drip irrigation saves a lot of water. Producing more, getting more, yet not harming the environment.
For almost half a century, the company has lived up to its slogan, grow more with less, not just in Israel, but in 110 countries around the world, from sugarcane fields in the Philippines to tea plantations in Tanzania.
You know, India is now our number one country. The results, looking at the yield increase, were amazing. 50% of the farmers got an increase in yield between 25 and 50%. Another 25% of the farmers got an increase in yield of up to 75%.
Netafim even designed a system that works solely on gravity for places like Peru, where remote mountain farmers don't have electricity.
The plant doesn't know the difference. The plant doesn't know that you don't have a $20,000 computer behind the dripper. And it works beautifully. Everyone is talking about water scarcity. 70% of the water that we have available in the world is used for agriculture. Now, if we save only 15% in agriculture, we can more than double the available water for drinking and sanitation. In Hebrew, we have a term which is called tikkun olam, which is fixing the world. And this is basically what drip irrigation does. This is my personal goal and challenge.
Fixing the world. Why in the world would President Barack Obama, Secretary John Kerry, Iran, why does anybody have an enemy? Why do they have an adversarial feeling towards Israel?
Sure.
That they worked 70% of water that's used is used to be able to grow the things that we eat in agriculture, all of it. And if you could save 50%, then you can double the usage. The shortage would go away. They're the ones that actually figured this out. God gave them the wisdom to do that.
Not too long ago on this program, we talked about how there was a water drought in California.
Yes.
And you think
about the whole Pacific sitting out there.
Why not use the technology?
They're one of the ones, too, that talked about disinvesting from Israel, California. Yes.
And now they have a severe, severe drought.
Maybe if they just repent and say, oh, we're sorry, and we will invest in Israel and God.
That's right. Maybe they'll have that technology.
So we're showing you that now so that you can be aware that when people are talking negatively about Israel, Israel is blessing us. Israel is a blessing to the nations of the world. They are the first. I mean, they are quick to bless. And if somebody wants to stop that, they want to stop you from eating. They want to stop you from drinking. They're not happy. Sort of like the gangster in some community somewhere saying, you know, I'll protect you. It's like, I was fine before you came into the neighborhood.
Right.
And so you're looking at right here is this is just nothing but darkness trying to come against light. God's going to win in the end. The question is, are you going to stand with Israel? And I encourage you. That's why we're showing you this whole week, you know, the truth about Israel. More we get back from the break.
Where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or falls. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business. Provides realtor needs a rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God. He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us. And we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation that you want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It's one thing I noticed, John, as we're watching, they're dedicating this week to just seeing how God has blessed Israel to be a blessing, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob. And how when you're seeing the news, secular news, and you're seeing leaders going, you know, we have this problem with Israel. It's like, what, for giving you food, for giving
for
you
helping
water?
You.
You know, we're going to talk about technology. But there's one thing I noticed that I think, and you're thinking about the Jews now, not just people in general, but just the Jews where God says, I'm going to choose you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to pull you out, I'm going to bless your nation. And he's doing that.
Mm.
And so then you can say, okay, what about the Christians? You know, that same blessing, the blessing of Abraham, is ours. But this is the thing I'm noticing, John. This is going to just shock you. It's going to just shock you. They appear to be working hard.
Yes.
That's not what they've been preaching in America, hard work. Have they been preaching hard work?
No, not at all.
They just said pennies from heaven, right?
That's it.
If you just lean this way, do this, do that, and show up for 20 years, it's just going to come out of heaven, right?
Yeah. I heard Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu say that we're the only nation in the Middle East that doesn't have oil. And he says that happened so that we could actually use our brains and have to work hard till we figure things out.
Right. Not yet. According to Perry Stone, they'll have oil soon from fracking. But it's just, they worked hard. They were just, you know, it's one of the successes of Israel, you're going to hear and you've been hearing, is they just don't give up. They just keep trying and trying and trying. How many people just give up?
Mm-hmm.
They say, it must not be God. I say, why? He's like, I stubbed my toe on the way out of bed this morning. He's like, come on, you got to keep push through. And if we will trust God, if we will repent, and we will work hard for God, as a matter of fact, live like he's coming back today and work like he's not coming back for 100 years.
That's right.
Work like Israel worked to develop the land, work that hard in this life. And there's just a huge harvest is going to come in. I think about this. I think about Michael Leal. You know, we got to have the heart of like a Michael Leal, who in Seattle, Washington, high school student, just stands up for God, preaches the word of God, and just you're going to fall in love with this guy when you see him. That he got persecuted. He got suspended from school. I mean, how many people, out of the fear of being pointed out, out of the fear of being suspended or just humiliated, they don't ever open their mouths.
Attempt to
open their mouths, right?
He was suspended three times.
Three times. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. It's going to bless your heart.
Some people speak about other things. I speak about God. But in the end, we're all speaking, and we all have that freedom of speech. And I think it's important that we all have free speech, even in high school. My name is Michael Leal. I go to Cascade High School. I like hanging out with my friends and my family. I love reading the Bible, and why I share the gospel with the whole world is because it's necessary. Everyone needs to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's absolutely necessary. One day, after school, this man preaching outside of my school was preaching the gospel. You know, I heard that, and from then on, I got a real sincere and deep interest in, you know, what did God have to say and what the Bible has to say. And, you know, that all led me to seek God more, to read the Bible more, and eventually led to my repentance and putting my complete life and faith in Christ. I preached at this one event at school, and they've never lived through this situation before, I could tell. You know, the police ended up coming for no reason. The police never did anything to me, but you know, I just kept on preaching Christ, and I got suspended for 2 days. And then the next time I was preaching, or I was handing out tracts, actually, I was handing out tracts during lunch, and you know, to some students, getting into some conversations. It was in the building during lunch, and they came to me and they spoke to me and they said, "We warned you many times," and which led to my second suspension. And then my third suspension was because I handed out a gospel tract during class. It was to a student, a fellow student. It wasn't during a learning time, it was time to work, and you know, that's what led to my third suspension.
This school district is overtly punishing him because of his desire to share his faith with tracts or verbally share his faith. And other kids who get excited about football or baseball or other things, they're not punished.
Christians are followers of Christ. They follow Christ. I love Christ and I follow him, and he's my perfect example.
Does this young man like to share his faith? Yes. Is he open about it? Yes. Is he offensive? No.
I was really excited how the Pacific Justice Institute responded so quickly. I'm just really excited that I'm working with them and that they're helping me out.
Now, this case is not about a young man who hurt anyone. There's no child or student out there who is claiming any kind of injury whatsoever. This is about a school district that wants to censor and silence a young boy simply because he's excited about Jesus and he wants to share it.
I can't preach to every single person, but if I can give a pamphlet with the gospel, you know, that's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah, but God's in control of everything, and I'm not really worried about it.
Don't you just love Michael? Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So I can't talk to everybody, but if you give them a pamphlet.
That's it.
With all of it on there. I mean, that is the tenacity.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really have been just talking about how Azusa 2.0 is going to be hit in America, where it's the young folks that are moved with the power of God and the passion for God and the tenacity. And Michael looks like he's one of them.
He's got
he?
It. Yes. So, I mean, absolutely awesome. And to know he did sue the school district, he actually won. And thank God for Pacific Justice Institute. They actually defend religious freedom and parental rights and other, you know, injustices.
Justice Institute. What is it?
It's a Pacific Justice Institute. Mm-hmm. And their mission, if you will, is to defend religious freedom, parental rights, and other, you know, injustices that were done, your liberties, your civil rights.
It's just so important to support organizations like that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, thank God. I mean, they were able to stand with him. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be hearing about Michael right now. Suspended three times for preaching the gospel.
Right, and they successfully won the case.
Yes, because freedom of speech.
Freedom of speech.
He has his First Amendment, you know, it's your rights.
What's happening in America right now is the enemy's trying to, that's the shot. Enemy's trying to the fear.
Yeah.
Trying to produce fear in the hearts of man, trying to produce fear. And it's like, fear of what? I mean, why is even if you didn't have the Constitution, even if you didn't have everything going for you, even if you didn't have the Pacific Justice Institute, you still got to talk about Jesus.
Yeah. And it's always a fear of loss.
But how many people in America are thinking, well, it's because of that you think about it, it's like, what is everybody afraid of?
Right.
Think about it. What is everybody afraid of? Tell me, what is it? It's just like, where did we get this Americanized nationalism of, you know, I might lose something? It's like, if we were in Libya, we would still have to say Jesus is Lord. We'd still have to talk about him. And it just makes you wonder, like he said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. Didn't he say that?
Yeah. The difference here is that we have fear in America of losing our luxuries, our comforts, our conveniences. What our brothers and sisters in other countries, they could be fearful of losing their own lives for testifying. There's a big difference here. And yet those brothers and sisters in other countries are still very, very faithful to preach the gospel.
Well, Michael just said, you know, just convicts, you know, of me, of going, convicts me of just saying, you know, what are we doing with comfort and convenience? These two gods in America that's being served. And I mean, there's 350 million or 300 something million of us in America. There's 70 something percent profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. I mean, think about if there was just like, I don't know, 1,000 Michaels, just 1,000. It wouldn't take many to stand up. And it makes you think about, you know, Germany and how Christians didn't say hardly anything at all. From some of the reports, Dietrich Bonhoeffer had maybe 11 or 15 pastors in the Confessing Church movement. It was just people wouldn't even, and the Confessing Church was just a biblically based, you know, Christian belief church. And the majority of the whole German, quote, church, unquote, was nationalized with this whole thing about, I'm worried about what the government will think about us, the Gestapo, what they will think about us, what Hitler will think about us. And every time Hitler, you know, did something that you know won a battle or done something like that, the church would give a shout out to him and write a letter going, "Great job, we're just so proud of you." And wow. It's like today, I mean, how confused is the church today when the church is so wound around the flag? It's like the cross and the flag are so pressed together in America. It's almost like Jesus is being presented as if he's an American, right?
Absolutely.
And he's not. He's not. It's going to shock you. Jesus is not an American. He's the Son of God, the creator of the universe. I mean, think about that. The Milky Way. Mm. I mean, all these things. He is not an American. He loves Americans, but Jesus is not an American. And we have to stand up for him. He did say, if we're ashamed of him. When I look at Michael, I'm thinking, my goodness. And it's going to take this. It's going to take, because coming from what the standpoint they were coming from, you got to break out of what is. I mean, you almost got to just like, just jump, like a leap of faith. You got to just jump out and just, you know, if you die, you die. But I can't stay here and be ashamed of my Lord and Savior. I got to, you know, you may think bad about me. You may reject me, but God, I don't want to reject him. Mm. And somehow we've accepted some other biblical explanation for what's going on. Yeah. And there is no biblical explanation for that other than the fact is being ashamed of God. And it just blesses my heart, you know, to see, you know, Michael and these young men and women. We just encourage you. You know, you're inspiring us and you're challenging us. And we thank God for you. And we're going to talk about after the breaks, you know, beginning to just rethink the original tent of the church. And, you know, what is God calling us to do? More we get back from the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So, you know, that, Donna, she, uh-oh. Yeah, she, you can buy gummy bear type vitamins now. And I thought, well, what's the big deal? But truly, now that I'm actually taking a multivitamin gummy bear, and I'm not a gummy bear person.
Wow.
I thought, I'd actually take my vitamins. You know, take it.
So then I saw this. Gummy bear format?
It's just a, you know, it looks like a little mountain thing or something. I don't know what it is. It could be. I didn't have my glasses on. And so then I saw this commercial. It's like, they even have fiber. You know, it's for Pat. Fiber and gummy bears, right? And I thought, gummy bear fiber? I mean, this is like the baby boom thing going on, right? Yeah. I'm like, Donna, get some of that. Oh my goodness, I'm already doing vitamins. I'll even take fiber.
Oh wow.
With something like that. And so when she got it, I was like, as a child protector top on top of gummy bears, you know, fiber, I thought, how ridiculous. You'd have a child protector top.
Those
on
regulations
top of
again.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking. So it said, take two of them. It said, take two of them. And this was my first day of being able to take them, and it just happened to be on a Sunday. And I thought, dude, these are so small, and they taste so good. I'm thinking I'm going to take four.
Oh, no.
I'll take four gummy bears. They're gummy bears. They're gummy How bears. So I, you know, opened the child protector top, and I put the four gummy bears, and I just chewed them up. I had a great time, put the child protector top back on. And then I went and spoke. And it was amazing how gummy bears can make a grown man almost cry. So I do want to say it does miraculously work. You're only supposed to take two.
Oh.
And I do understand why they have a child protector top on there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. That was an amazing, amazing baby boomer moment.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
John, you know, God speaks prophetically. God yes. speaks, you know, he just speaks. Mm-hmm. God does speak. And what did God say to you? What specifically did he say to you?
I had a dream, a vision where I actually saw you and Pat. I was watching a video of, apparently it looked like it was a ministry trip. And we were watching this video, what took place. And then I saw where the camera was actually panned directly in front of you, and you were wearing a harness, and you were holding on to what appeared to be these ropes of a huge, gigantic parachute.
Wait a minute. So that was me?
Yes, yes.
With big ropes?
Yeah. Something like this, a paraglide, but you were on the floor at this point. Yeah, it's called I didn't even know what it was, and I had to look it up afterwards, but it's called paragliding.
Oh, wow.
What I saw.
Okay.
But the first part of this, before we see you flying, the first part was you were actually laying on the ground. Your back was towards the ground. This is real important because as I was watching, the camera was zooming. I had to pay special close attention. You were holding with everything that you had, every bit of strength, because it was the wind was blowing on this parasail, this parachute, wow. So strong. I mean, it was violent. It was, wow. And it took everything you had. And then I saw this facial expression. Now I've known you.
I'm sure what it would look like.
What, at almost at least 20 some odd years. I've never seen this facial expression on your face. Never. And it was almost like, oh my goodness, this you know. There was nothing you could do.
Right.
You couldn't stop it. This was it. This was going to happen, and it was just a matter of time before the parachute was just taken straight up into the air by the power of the wind. It was just that powerful. The second scene in this dream, I'm in an airplane, and we're very, very high altitude, and I'm looking across the aisle, and I see Pat Hamilton is sitting next to the window with another gentleman, and it looks like Pat's getting ready to jump out of this plane. Before he jumps out, I look out the window, and I see these beautiful snow-capped mountains, very majestic, very strong structures, and it reminded me of the seven mountains of society.
Right.
And as I'm looking out the window, I'm looking at Pat and the gentleman next to him have their hands underneath each other's thigh. Mm-hmm. And right before I said something, Pat looks at me in the dream and says, "It's in Genesis. It's in Genesis."
Which is a covenant.
It's a covenant. It's an oath. I had to look it up when I woke up. It was a Genesis 24:7, I believe. And Abraham's servant made a covenant, says, "I will find your son's, you know, wife." Isaac's wife, and before you know it, the next scene is Pat had jumped off of the plane, and he's soaring like Superman, if you will. We're looking at that image straight down, exactly like this, high speed, high altitude. I mean, and we were so far up in the sky that all you saw was greenery. You could not make anything out. I mean, just looked like broccoli. You know, wow. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, that's exactly what
that's it. There was nothing else, and then the final scene of this dream, I'm in a doctor's, a newborn baby's, I don't know the name, doctor's waiting room. And I happen to see a couple that I know in the natural. They were actually pregnant. She was pregnant. They're expecting their first child. But in the dream, the baby was born. And we, you know, exchanged some pleasantries and had this conversation. And then all of a sudden, Pat walks into the room. I was getting ready to go to the restroom to change, and because we had some meetings. And Pat walks in and tells me, "You can't change. Everything you needed in this meeting room, because everything has changed suddenly. Everything that we knew is completely changing. You need to come right now." And the very next word or the next phrase that I heard, I believe the Lord spoke it to me, said, "This is a new horizon. This is a new horizon." Mm. And that was the end of the dream.
That's powerful. You think about, you know, this. Just the sense, you know, right now that something's about to happen in the earth, that everything's about to shift. You think about, you know, just David Barton with Wall Builders just said yesterday that the church as you know it won't even be recognized anymore. It's all fixing to shift. And, you know, of course, so many of others we've talked about that, you know, Rick Joyner's talked about that the church will be going to be so different, you won't even be able to connect the church to what it is now, to what it's going to be. It's going to be so different. And it's just a sudden type thing. It's exciting, by the way, because it's not religious, but I really believe, and we wanted to be able to play, you know, Apostle Kaderi's word about the Gulf Coast that God gave him, about the wind of God's spirit, but we'll make that available in the VFN Torch. But he's speaking about how God has shown him the winds are going to come from four different regions, and they're going to go back out again from the Gulf Coast and touch the nations.
Wow.
And this wind of God's spirit is going to blow in such a powerful way. And, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it around for good for those that are going after him. There's going to be a differentiation between those who are God's. I mean, we belong to God versus those who said, "I don't want God." There's going to be a big change. And what you're going to see, too, those who didn't understand God are going to be able to have a better understanding of who he is, and they're going to come to God by the millions. They're going to come running to God.
This is exciting.
Yes, and I want you to hear this right here. You got to hear
This particular from 7:21 here, when you hear Paul Keith Davis talking about this rain and this wind that's coming. Listen up.
We're about to be overtaken. The latter rain outpouring is a maturing rain, which deals with sonship. It is a perfecting rain, which deals with the bride of Christ, and it's the harvest rain.
One of the crises that we have right now is just this huge orphan spirit that's over the church and over people in general. Mm-hmm. And the one thing the Lord said that he would do, that he would send Elijah, and Elijah would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and that, you know, maybe you're watching right now and you're thinking, you know, everything that I hear, I'm just disempowered because I am a orphan in my heart, that I just live for love. Will you love me? Will you love me? You're maybe in your fifth relationship. Maybe you're looking for a job that loves you. Maybe you're looking for things and stuff. Maybe you're loving yourself because you're thinking nobody else will. But I want to tell you right now, God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. We call him Father, and he wants to be your father. And God wants to fix that paradigm, you know, and to no longer live for love, but to live from love, out of the Father's love. And I want to, this move of God that's coming is going to heal that in your heart. But you got to be brave enough to jump out and launch out and say, here I am. Even if it takes you like that dream, then like the wind's just going to grab you and pull you out of where you are. But don't you want to leave where you are anyway? Isn't it worth the risk just to let the wind of God carry you where he wants to carry you and do what he wants to do? I want to encourage you right now. Just call out to God and say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be with you, God. I'm willing to leave everything behind. I'm ready to get thee up and go like Abraham did in faith, trusting you, knowing that you're going to show me. I want to be a part of this, God. I want to be a part of this move, Father God. And I just want to pray with you right now. And like I said, you can go to vfntv.com and contact us. You can find out our testimonies at meetmyfather.org. But let me pray with you. Father God, I just thank you for our viewers and our listeners, Father God. And I pray right now, Father God, this orphan spirit would be broken off of them in Jesus' name, and that the awareness of your Father's heart for them and your love for them, Father God, that you would heal those father wounds in their heart, Father God, and the father neglects, Father God, and that you would just surround them by your Spirit, Father God, men and women, and that they would no longer look horizontally, Father God, for what you're going to give them, the love that you give them as a good father, Father God, and that you would use them and be a part, that they would be a part of what's about to happen, this latter rain and this wind of your Spirit that's about to catch your people and take us to new realms and great harvest in you. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.